I needed time to process what had happened and what was said before sharing it. And I knew that this was the platform I really wanted to extend and elaborate on what was said and how I reacted and the steps that I took to overcome this situation.
Welcome. You're listening to the Love That Surpasses podcast, and I'm your host, Sarah Lowry.
And I'm your co-host, Megan Bushalon.
Take a seat and join in as we share our hearts and experiences surrounding parenthood, disabilities, and God's calling on our lives to live victoriously, fearlessly, and free.
You'll hear conversations about expectations, grief, jealousy, but also surrendering our lives and stepping into our God-given purpose with courage.
We're so glad you're here today, and we hope you feel abundantly loved. Because, well, you are.
Okay, guys, welcome to episode 7. We're so glad you're here. This episode is about extending forgiveness, and it's such an important topic. It is something that I face, I would say, monthly.
Yeah.
More often than not, is forgiving other people for hurting me. It's a really, really important topic.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Like, it's a constant, just like how we talked about the whole jealousy aspect, where things happen, we go through things and situations and experiences with others. And there's this constant like reminder, like, okay, I can't hold on to this. This is just going to eat away at me. And that even is forgiving other people, obviously. So I know for me, it's something that I have to consciously say, okay, I've been holding on to this. Why am I holding on to this? Why can't I let this go? Why can't I, you know, forgive this person? Yeah. Constant battle for sure. had a situation recently, right? With it. That I think definitely worth sharing.
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I like 24 hours afterwards, I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to talk about forgiveness. Like, this is a huge deal. And, you know, it even brought conversation between me and my husband, because he was there for this meeting. So, my son, he is going to be needing heart surgery soon. We're thinking August. And so we met with our cardiac physician and just our regular cardiologist. And he has been amazing. Like, we had a really bad cardiologist experience when we first moved out here with Emmett initially. It was so bad. I left the practice, and this doctor was highly recommended, and he has been nothing short of amazing. Like, speaks with me for over an hour in great detail about, you know, our plan. And he is very honest and open with me when those plans change and what's best for Emmett and what this looks like now. You know, I've sent him several messages on my health about follow-up regarding, you know, our change in plans and procedure. And he has not just messaged me back. He actually took the time to call me, which, you know, I'm a medical professional. I know how busy doctors get. So this has meant like the world to me. Like, he has really gone above and beyond out of his way. My husband hasn't had much interaction because he's usually at work while I take Emmett to the cardiologist. So, you know, we both wanted to get Emmett's surgery down in the books, and we went recently to see this doctor and had a really good conversation, talked for probably an hour and 15 minutes. You know, this has been a doctor who I would say probably has been the best physician that we've ever had for Emmett. And I trust him and I trust his opinion. And, you know, this appointment was the first time that my husband was meeting, this doctor. And, I haven't shared this yet. I felt like this was a good, I needed time to process what had happened and what was said before sharing it. And I knew that this was the platform I really wanted to extend and elaborate on what was said and how I reacted and the steps that I took to overcome this situation. So there was a comment that was made about We were concerned about Emmett's weight gain and his percentile on the growth chart. He had been tracking 50 percentile until a year ago, and then all of a sudden he just started dropping. We've been trying to fortify his food so he would gain weight, but he's still not gaining anything, which is my biggest indicator and argument that his hole in his heart needs to be closed. So there was a comment made about predisposition to obesity, which is known in Down syndrome individuals. You know, they do have a predisposition to excessive weight gain. And it's something that, you know, every medical professional knows about, and, you know, we know about as having, you know, an older child with Down syndrome in the family, and things to keep in mind for Emmett, just that, well, you know, we're a very active family and that we would have to maintain, you know, just being really active. And that's actually what we all should do, because, you know, obesity can be detrimental to your other organs and things. So maintaining a healthy, active lifestyle is a necessity for everyone, not just the Down syndrome community. It's for everybody, for me and my husband and my daughter and my son. And so he was kind of diving into this topic, and the direction, instead of going at it from a healthy lifestyle, was taken to, well, he, you know, you're going to want to keep him a lower weight to prevent, you know, individuals with Down syndrome will have behavior issues, and to be able to handle him, you would like to keep him at a lower weight. So the obesity topic was addressed from a, this is what you're going to need to do to handle him behaviorally, instead of this is what you need to do to keep him healthy. And I called you sobbing when I got home. And you know, it's so funny because Megan, she starts crying with me.
Yeah. I was so upset. I was angry. I was like, okay, let me go look at flights. Let me go see what your prices are. I don't care how much it is. I'm about to get on a plane. And not only am I going to come hug you, but I'm going to go talk to that doctor.
I know. I'm tearing up just thinking about that perspective. My husband was at the appointment with me. You know, this is the first time he's meeting this doctor. This is a doctor I love and I trust, who's been so gracious. I was feeling very hurt and very betrayed, just by one comment. My husband was very angry. He was very angry about it. He immediately, like, you know, when you make a comment like that and you're talking about something so big, at least for my husband, it just totally wipes out your whole opinion on the bigger part, because it totally derailed us from what we really needed to be focusing on, like our big decision about the two operations that we could do with Emmett and which one was best for him, to something totally irrelevant.
Yeah.
And it just made that time period so messy and painful. And I know a lot of other families have experienced this kind of ignorance from medical professionals. And my husband has, you know, it's a little bit harder for him to forgive. Yeah. Others. But, you know, we had this conversation and I was like, we need to move forward and forgiving him for what he said. And, you know, he was like, I just don't know if I can. And I was like, well, you're starting to feel really bitter about all of these comments. And he's like, yes. Like he acknowledged he is holding so much bitterness because of the painful comments, not only about this, but like about, we've heard so many other hurtful things, especially about Hayden, that have just been so painful for us. And if you don't forgive, it just builds and digs deeper and deeper. And it just spills over into everything and gets messy.
All comes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I knew immediately after leaving that appointment, I was like, I already felt like I needed to talk to God today, but I was like, I just got to go home. I can't do anything else. Like, I need to go talk to God. I need to tattle about what happened. God, did you hear what he said to me? I'm tattling. Did you hear what he said? How do I forgive him? I want to forgive him, but I can't. Like, it hurts. This is wrong. And I just felt like this like, okay, Sarah, like, yes, I heard what he said to you. You know, you're not going to be able to forgive him in your own strength. You're going to need me to do it. And I want you to do it. I don't want you, because everybody afterwards, you know, when I was talking to them, are you going to switch doctors? Are you going to switch cardiologist? And you know, my gut thought was, no, I don't want to. Like, he's been so great to us. This was a very one-off bad comment. And who am I to be so critical towards him for his ignorance and weeds that are in his heart that he doesn't know are there, when I had the same before I had Emmett? You know, like, it's, so my goal is to move forward and forgive him and, you know, not run away. I want to keep showing up, and I want God to help move in that doctor's life to show him, you know, the weeds growing in his heart and how he can transform. Because ultimately, if I just jump to another cardiologist, you know, I'm really doing this other doctor who's a good doctor, but an imperfect person, a disservice.
And you're starting over in a lot of ways with Emmett. And, you know, there's a real goal here, a very serious goal that you need to have completed by, you know, sooner rather than later. And so that personal hurt can get in the way of, you know, achieving that surgery and getting that done quickly. So, and we had this conversation when you did call me, and I know, like, oh my gosh, it was filled with tears and frustration and anger. But in that moment, I was reminded of something my mom has told me so many times in the past, where, you know, like, there was this girl who out of the blue was just really upset and aggressive and just was not at all who I thought she was. And it really took me by surprise. And she was so incredibly hateful. And I was just like, oh my goodness, like, this was really hurtful. And at the time, I had actually found out, so crazy. This is all kind of coming back to me in the moment. I was at a conference, and I remember my son, I got a call during the conference. I'm leading this thing, that they had found two holes in his heart, and that, you know, they were going to have to monitor and all that. And it was just like, after going through so much at birth and him having, you know, the cleft palate and needing that repair and just everything else, it was just like, oh my gosh, I didn't know enough about this. Like, it was very devastating for me in that moment. And so I was going through a lot at the time when this person, they got upset with me about some miscommunication that wasn't even our miscommunication. It was our husband's. And so this person got upset with me, and they, like, immediately were just like cussing me out and just was so hateful. And I was like, wait, this doesn't even warrant this. Like, what's happening here? And so I remember being in this place where I was like, look, it's clearly we're two different people in two different places. I really do wish you the best. This isn't going to work. You know, I got other things going on, bigger fish to fry than this drama. I'm not doing this. So anyways, all that to say, I remember calling my mom and I said, I don't even like, I'm so angry at this person. How could they act like this? How could they treat me this way? They have no idea what's going on in my personal life. They don't even care to ask what's going on. Like, this is really hurtful. And, you know, she said something to me. She said, okay. She said, you're allowed to feel that way. And you're allowed to feel hurt. And you're allowed to be upset and angry and all those things, but you cannot carry that. You can't hold that. And you shouldn't hold that against them as a person. They're a human being. They make mistakes. And they're going through their own journeys, and hopefully God will speak to their heart and they'll feel convicted and, you know, things will change for them. But what you can do is you can look at this person and you can think of three things about them that you like about them and that you appreciate of them. And even if it was a past them, the person that you thought you knew, just acknowledge three positive things and then move on, forgive and move on. And that's probably the easiest way that I've been able to approach situations like that in even the most difficult situations, is to go, okay, you know what, this person, even though they hurt me, they were in a period of my life, they were very giving, or this person was there for me on this day, or I really liked how bubbly they are. They have a bubbly personality. Fine. I like their hair. If that's the only thing that you can come up with, so be it, and move on. And that has helped me so many times in so many situations where I'm like, all I can see is red and all I can see is what they've done to me. Mm-hmm. I have to remember human too, and they're a person too. And so, I don't know. I've always done that. And so when you called me, I was like, okay, I sound like my mother. You know, he's done a lot of good things. You've been really happy with him. And this was one mistake that he made. And though it's fair for you to feel the way that you're feeling, and it was wrong, try to remember the things that he has done and focus on that. And if you still can't get past this, then okay, maybe it is time to look for someone else. But if not, then, you know, if you are able to move past this, then, you know, focus on those things and do what needs to be done for Emmett. And so, you know, it was that side of that conversation, but then it was also this, like, just keep your eye on the prize. Like, let's not lose focus here. And I know in the moment I was like, I know you don't want to hear this. I know you just want me to be like, yeah, he stinks. We don't like him. But I was like, take all the time you need, but let's focus on the positive things here. And so, and I don't know if that really helped you in that moment, but I know it helps me. And it's been a life lesson, that I've carried with me for a long time, and it's helped me a lot. I'm not always good at it. Sometimes all I have is, well, they have pretty eyes and that's about it. But that's all I've got to do.
I know it really helped me when I called you and you just cried with me. Just to have somebody else come to that place of hurt with me, and love me that much and love my kids that much, to come to that place of hurt with me, really helped. And, you know, of course, in my quiet time that day, I was brought to, I can't even remember what passage it was, but it was all about God's love. I mean, I read like so many passages about love, God's love, and intention for us to love others, like loving others well. And, I'll have to find that verse. It was like, they like unbelievers will not know that we are God's children because they do not see, but, you know, until they see, like, you are God's child, and until they see, then they will know. I have to find that verse, post it, but it was beautiful. And that was the verse that really stood out to me. And I was like, you know what? Like, I don't even know if this doctor, he probably, you know, living in the Bay Area, probably doesn't know God. He probably doesn't go to church. 90% of people in the Bay Area do not go to church. That is a fact we have heard at multiple churches. You will see no one driving to church, Sunday mornings here. A lot of the churches are like ghost towns. It's just so different than what I grew up around.
Oh yeah, so different to both of us, because we grew up, you know, in the Bible Belt. We grew up in the South, and that's like
Baptist church on every corner.
Rain or shine, you're going to church and church was even on Wednesdays, and church was, you know, on Saturdays. Like, our lives revolved around church. So such a foreign concept to be like, you don't like get Sunday best, like you don't get yourself ready and actually like wash your hair and go to church on Sunday morning. I actually met a person the other day. I told you about this, our next door neighbor. I was talking to him and he was like, you know, I've never actually ever been to church in my entire life. And the man's 34 years old. I was like, really? What do you mean you've never been to church? I said, well, you want to come to church with me? And he was like, well, what's it like? Like, kind of scared. I was like, you know, we're not running around like hitting people on the head with Bibles or anything, but you know, it's a good place. It's a good place for community of like-minded people who care and will love on you and care for you and remind you of your worth. And, you know, it's just, I challenge you to just check it out, just see what it's about. Be curious. And if you don't like it, okay. But at least you tried. So I don't know if he's going to actually do that. I might have scared him off, but we'll see. But yeah, it's so weird, isn't it?
It is so weird. But yeah, I just, and I plan to keep you guys updated on, the steps that and the events that unfold in this forgiveness journey. And I think it's important to note that this is a forgiveness journey. And, after, some quiet time with the Lord, I just envisioned like this rock that I was holding, you know, this just bitterness that just weighs you down, and just releasing that back to Jesus, for him to be able to help me forgive and let go of this bitterness and this rock that I'm holding on to. And I just loved that picture that I was given, because a lot of times the journey of forgiveness is not quick. But if you ask Jesus to give you the grace to move forward and, ask him to take it all the way for you and carry it, because you just can't, there's no way that you can forgive this person in your own, imperfect self.
Yeah.
He will. And you'll feel a lot better. So much better. Instead of just growing these deep roots of bitterness, you're just able to let things kind of roll off in a much healthier way and just say, you know, just go tattle to God. Did you hear what that person said?
Yeah.
To me?
Yeah.
That was wrong.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's such an important thing to remember, is that sometimes there are moments where, yeah, like, you know, and I really do think it is a reflection of that relationship with God and like how involved you are in the word and how much you're like consuming that, because when you're putting those things in, like this good is going to come out. You're easily going to, you know, be able to handle these situations. And so in situations where you're not so much, I think you will find yourself struggling a little bit more to let things go. Because that's been evident in my life. Anytime where I have maybe not been as active in like soaking in what God has to say about every element, aspect of my life, if my life isn't completely centered around God, like I really do struggle with these different choices, and especially with forgiving people versus times where I have been really more active and soaking everything in and trying to grow and trying to be more Christ-like and trying to mirror who God is. I find myself being like, okay, you know what? This is not mine to carry. And this is not what God says about them. They're still his too. They're still a child of God. And, you know, I have to remember that in this situation. Cause I know, like, for example, there was, my journey of forgiveness, was a long one too. And I definitely can look back and see where my relationship with Christ grew through that. You know, I thought I was close then, but like comparing now to then, I definitely feel like I've grown so much in my faith and in my relationship with him. And I feel like I'm better equipped than I was before to handle that situation. But though it was a hard journey and it was long and it was, you know, a very difficult situation that I had to go through, it did help me in the long run. But this situation was, I had a very, very close friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine who I was very close with. Like if it was me and it was her, and if it was her, it was me. We were always together. We were always doing everything. And it was like, if someone asked how I was doing, they were asking how we were doing. That's just how close we were. Mm-hmm. And it was somebody who I expected to be such a big, continue to be a big part of my life. Especially when I stepped into motherhood and everything like that. And unfortunately, when I did step into motherhood, this person decided they didn't want anything to do with my life. And they started, you know, kind of becoming just absent. And I never really heard from them. And it was difficult to get in touch with them. And then suddenly, you know, we had to have a hard heart. I was like, what's going on? Like, where have you been? Where are you? Fine. Even though I'm the mother who's having a child who typically is the one who kind of like, you know, goes MIA, I was really trying to make sure I wasn't that person. And they came at me with, I just don't like being around you anymore. I think you're fake. I don't think you're as happy as you think you are. And like you portrayed other people. They really started to attack my character. They made comments about how, you know, you're a common denominator. This is why people leave and they're not in your life. And, you know, you're a horrible person. I don't like you anymore. Like that was essentially the conversation.
Wow.
And they also talked about how, like, I feel like it's a competition. Like I'm trying to compete with your happiness. And it was very clear that this person had a lot of envy, and I'm a big cheerleader. Like you can ask Sarah, like anything that's going on. I'm like, you've got this. I'm behind you 100%. Tell me what you need me to do. I don't care. I'm, you know, all the way in Miami and you're all the way in, you know, San Fran. I don't care. Like whatever I got to do. So it's like, for somebody to say that, it was just like so contradictory to who I am as a person. So I knew it was coming from a place of envy and jealousy where they were like not happy with themselves or their lives. And they were projecting this on me. So though that happened and I knew that, it was a situation where I felt immense betrayal. I felt so much disappointment. I practically mourned that this person wasn't in my life anymore, because it came to a place where I was like, look, maybe we should take a break. You know, maybe we should, you know, there's clearly some issues going on here. And so maybe let's just take a break. I'm still here for you, whatever you need. But this person was like, no, I want nothing to do with you. I don't care about you. Like, and I mean, that hurts so much.
That's hard.
And I went through several years, probably I would say 3 years, where I really struggled with having new relationships. I struggled with trusting people. And I really struggled with this fear of being abandoned, this feeling of being lonely, and that eventually everyone's going to leave. That whole like letting go and forgiving that person just wreaked havoc on every aspect of my life, made me believe that I was not worthy. I was not worthy of love. I wasn't worthy of long-term relationships and friendships and real deep, relationships with people. And eventually, slowly but surely, yeah. Right. So I really started to focus on my relationship with God, because that's all I had. You know, it was just like, I don't know how else to approach this situation. I truly feel defeated. And so going through that, he really did remind me of my worth and who I was, and that all these things were lies. And by believing in them and partnering with them, I was allowing them to actually come to fruition. I was actually letting this happen in my life, and I was building up these walls. Versus the walls being built before me, I was building them. So mm-hmm. It was like this realization where I was like, it doesn't have to be this way. And these aren't true. This isn't true about me. And I'm going to perform in who God calls me to be and who God says I am. And I'm not going to partner with this. And my gosh, my life opened up so much more. And thank goodness it did at that point, because I feel like you came in the picture too, around this time. And it was like, I was ready for a relationship, and God, and I prayed, I was like, God, bring me people in my life outside of my husband, because I love my husband to death, but I need people outside of that who can be in my life and be in my children's lives, who I can trust and I can have companionship with. And that's meaningful, like on a deep level, not just you're cool and we like the same things. Like, no, deeper than that. Here I am. Sarah. And it was like, at first I was like, is she for real? Is she for real, God? I don't know. This is too good to be true. No, it's been wonderful. And I was ready to be in a relationship and to grow. And oh my gosh, we've blessed each other over and over and over again. We actually had a conversation. I can't remember if we mentioned this in a previous episode, but we talked about this where I had this visual of like, we're in a canoe and like I'm rowing. And then I take a break because I'm like, oh, I'm working so hard. I can't go on any further. And you're like, no, I'm still rolling. You sit back for a minute, rest, take a breather. And then we just keep switching on and off, but we keep going upstream. We keep going and we work together and we help each other. We give each other rest. We give each other strength by relying on each other. And so anyways, it's been a beautiful journey. It hasn't been an easy journey. And though I have, you know, I feel like I've always had a strong faith and I've considered myself a Christian, and doesn't mean that I didn't fall prey to these things and these lies, but thankfully God was relentless in, you know, his pursuit of my heart and saying like, no, that's not right. You are not that. You are this. This is who I have called you to be. This is who, what I want you to do. This is how you can overcome this. So it was surely, I was like, oh, okay. I got it now. So it hasn't been easy. And I think that's something important to remember is that it's not always easy, but it does get easier. Like I talked about, the more we're in the word and we're soaking up these things and we know truth, we're better equipped to fight those lies much quicker, much more efficiently. So
I love this story. And this is reminding me of a post that I made recently about, you know, the three voices that you hear in your mind when you're going through something: yours, God's, and the enemy's. And this situation is such a beautiful picture of how it's so important to recognize all three of those voices. Because a lot of the times, like, the enemy does come in and they want to stay hidden and they want to make you think that, you know, it's your thoughts, but you know, the fear of abandonment, fear of not being loved, you know, those, you have to ask yourself when these things are coming to mind, okay, who's telling me this story? Who's telling me this storyline? Is this what God says about me? And that's why it's so important to grow your relationship with God, because then he tells you who you are in him. And if if those thoughts don't line up, you don't have to continue partnering with that. And it's so important. It's just an easy like prayer of, I see you. I'm not partnering with this. I know who you are. That's not who I am in God. Be gone. And it liberates you so much. And I love your story. I know I can think of at least one person who really needs to hear this story that you just shared. And
well,
another thought.
I was going to say, something just came to mind that I can't remember if I shared this with you, but I know I can't ever remember who I've talked to about what, because I call you and my mom like daily, except for this past week, it's been insane. But like, I will call mom and be like, mom, Jesus spoke to me about this. And then I'll call Sarah. This is what Jesus spoke to me. I can't remember who I've said to who, but I know I talked to mom about this. And I learned something recently. And though I'm not Catholic, you know, I recognize the importance of Lent and like what that's about. And it's really just diving deep into Jesus's journey and, you know, who he is, who is his character, what's his character like, and really just like purposefully diving deep into who he is and understanding that. And so something I learned recently that I thought was really eye-opening is that not only, obviously, the devil has his pretty standard tactics. He's just like telling you these lies and things like that. And sometimes it's pretty an obvious lie, right? It's like, no, that's ridiculous. But you know that, like, Jesus, okay, so you have where Jesus is fasting, right, for 40 days, and the devil comes and tempts him and says, hey, turn that rock to bread, or jump off this highest point. Surely the angels won't let your feet touch the ground. Bow down to me and I'll give you everything you want. You don't even have to die on the cross. You don't have to go through this horrible thing for me. I won't do that for you. You can have all these things. Now, what's interesting is that the devil, you see him getting excited. The devil actually uses, remember, the devil was an angel at one point. He uses God's word and twists it just slightly, where it's like, are you sure that's what you heard that God said? Or was he saying this? I mean, he did that with Adam and Eve. Isn't this what God meant? Maybe this is what he meant. Maybe you should do that. And so if you're not equipped, if you don't know God's word, if you don't know the truth, it's so easily to be, you're so easily deceived, mm-hmm. because it sounds like truth. It's so easy for us to believe, but they're ultimately lies. And thankfully, you know, Jesus, he's all knowing and he understands. I don't even know why the devil even tried, right? But be gone, you know? And what's so interesting is that, like, he even talks about how, like, if you jump off, the angels will come and save you. But when the devil leaves and God and Jesus doesn't fall to that temptation, the angels come, and guess what? They minister to him. They talk to him. They're with him. He didn't need to jump off the highest point for the angels to come. They were already there. And how, like, huge is that? I thought that was like, I don't know why that just, like, it broke my brain. I was like, wait a minute. It's not just lies. It's not just like the complete opposite of what God says, but it's like just twisting his word slightly where it seems so, it seems like truth.
He's the great.
And if we're, yeah. So anyways,
I thought that was God's word. I think that's, he's the counterfeiter of God's word. It's like, you know, counterfeit money. It looks so real, but there's just something different. There's something off about it. And
right.
My thought to address was, you know, while our stories are both about forgiveness, you know, my story, obviously, like, I'm choosing to stay and forgive, whereas your story, you know, there was that loss and there was that need to leave. So I think it's important to realize that while forgiveness is important in both scenarios, like, you know, the outcomes can be different. They can call for you to stay, or they can call for a door to be closed.
Ooh, you're preaching now, Sarah. Yeah, that is, wow. Actually, that is huge. So many things are flooding my mind right now when you just said that. Like, wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Holy Spirit.
There's this decision, right? It's like,
yeah,
that forgiveness. Oftentimes we think, oh, we forgive, we let go, and like, it's gone. It's away. I don't have to deal with it anymore. It's not even a part of my life anymore. In some aspects, it's still there, mm-hmm. and it's still something that you face daily, but you have still made the choice to forgive and you move forward. And so that's so right, is that sometimes it is separate and sometimes it's still connected.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is a great ending point,
right?
This episode is fire,
right?
Woo! We could just do all the fire emojis for it. But I do want to read this prayer. It is about forgiveness in my book, A Love That Surpasses, Living Love, Fearless and Free. You can find this on Amazon. And this is a prayer about the healing of forgiveness, because with forgiveness, you get healed. It's huge in liberation. So I'll read this part. Let me put my glasses on.
And what I love about Sarah's book is she goes through like her own personal story of this. And then at the end, not only talks about like, hey, here are the truths, here are the things that have helped me, but here's a way to pray for this specifically in your life. And these prayers are really great tools to like face these situations when we don't even know what to say. So I love that about her book and how those prayers are presented. So I encourage you to look at it, but anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
Thank you. Okay. The forgiveness of others is a huge step in the liberation process. You cannot move forward into God's love and freedom with bitterness in your heart towards others. When you were only worthy of death, Jesus forgave you of everything. So not only you may live in freedom during this life, but also have eternal life. However, in exchange, he wants you to extend his love to others who don't deserve it too. Wow, that's just really stood out to me because I was brought to that love passage during my journey. This can be a very hard step, but make a list of everyone who has hurt you. Even the deepest hurts that you cannot forgive by your own strength is not too big for Jesus. I encourage you to ask for his strength in the forgiving process to intercede on your behalf. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So this is the prayer that I would like for you to close your eyes, unless you're driving, and pray. Father, I am choosing to forgive, insert person or past self, of their wrongdoings against me, just as you have graciously chosen to forgive me. I extend this same grace through you today to that person. Please bring to mind others who have hurt me in the past so I may forgive them today as well. Jesus, there are those who have hurt me too deeply to forgive through my own strength. I ask that you intercede on my behalf through your strength, Jesus. May blank person be forgiven in my heart for all of their wrongdoings towards me. I understand that a bitter heart blocks the flow of your love to me. Open the floodgates of your love today through the forgiveness in my heart of others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, you can find us on ministry pages on Instagram at Love That Surpasses Ministries. You can follow my personal page at Love That Surpasses on Instagram. And then Megan, how can they follow you?
You can find me at Megan Bushalon, or also on my YouTube channel, Chasing the Sun. I go into a little bit about, you know, behind the scenes of life and podcasts and Love That Surpasses and everything else. And then we also encourage you to check out lovethatsurpasses.org, where we have a newsletter that we highly encourage you to subscribe to, where you'll find pretty much everything there. We actually just sent one out today. It has the cutest picture of Emmett on it. I like messaged Sarah and was like, please let me use this picture from the newsletter. I think it's so cute. But we share, hey, podcast is out. Here's a new episode here. Here's an updated story, or here's ways to participate in upcoming events, things like that. So it's a great way to stay informed. And you mentioned your book, Sarah. Where can they find that?
You can find that on Amazon.com. And I think that's it for today, folks. Have a great day.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.